Bald and blonde. Welcome to the Mindset Evolution podcast. Hear about tips, tricks, skills, tools, inspiration, mental hygiene, know what you want and how to create what you desire to achieve predictable results and create a content life wherever you are. And here are your hosts, Kathy Tate and Daisy Papp.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution. I'm Kathy Tate, the Bald Warrior, your host from Down Under. And with me, as always, is Daisy Papp, your host from the Florida Keys. Hi, Daisy.
Hi, my dear podcast partner, Down Under. Greetings to the world from the Florida Keys.
So, Daisy, it is season 4 and we're having some really good conversations. This week, I want to talk about toxic people.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, many people will probably then face how often they have been in their past one of them. Okay, let's do it. I'm ready. Good.
Yes.
So what is something that you would like to know about them, or what would you like to know how to stop judging them as toxic, or where do you want this conversation to go?
Well, in my experience, there is a lot of toxic people out there, and most of us will deal with one or more at some point in our lives. So I think it's a really smart thing to have some tools in our toolbox on how to deal with them so that we don't take on that toxicity into ourselves, because it can be super easy to do that when you're around toxic people and maybe you don't realize how toxic they are. It can have a really big effect on you. And I think bringing awareness to it and giving some tools to help deal with it is a really smart thing, especially at this time of year when a lot of people are spending time with family and maybe people that they don't choose to spend time with at other times of the year. But because of the holidays, a lot of us feel obligated to go and be a part of family events, and there may well be one or two toxic people around. So I thought it was a good time to speak about it and help our audience out, because I know in my life I've come across this multiple times and it would have been super helpful to have some tools to deal with it.
I agree with you, and I applaud you again for another great topic choice. What I believe is the first point to consider is that we do have no obligation to change others. And also, it is none of our business how toxic someone else is, unless they are our minor children. When they are our minor children, then of course, we as parents have an obligation and a responsibility to help them release toxicity or also get help. But everyone else who is adult, no matter the bloodlines or how close related they are to us or how far unrelated they are from us, I believe it is important to acknowledge that it's none of my business to change their world. Why? It may sound almost egotistical to think, well, it's none of my business, so I leave them as they are. But I believe, let's look at it from the healthy point of view. I believe it is important to acknowledge, because can you truly change someone else? And when you try to change someone else, there are usually much consequences that we don't really want, because they, from their point of view, believe that they are right and you're wrong. So now two people try to convince one another that they are wrong. That cannot be good. So I believe that the second step is, okay, I cannot change them. Now, what can I do to make it easier on myself? I believe a very good point is become the observer more often. You are the observer anyways, but we oftentimes have the feeling we must jump in or we must fix it. But when we become aware that we are the observer and we consciously observe, then it also becomes easier to just let be. Meaning I'm observing, let's say you and I, we sit in the movie theater and we watch something that we like or dislike to a degree. And there's one scene I really disagree with, Do I jump up in front of the screen and throw a fit and say, stop it? No, that's not right. Stop doing that. No, don't you know this ABC? No, I don't. Now, when we imagine at a family gathering, which, by the way, is a great opportunity to find your unhealed wounds. Why? Because usually what triggers us is something that wants our attention. Mm? So there are two parallels that are important to have a look at. Number one, observe. And when you are observing, allow others to be who they are now. Why? Because everyone I know wants to be loved and appreciated and respected and accepted for who they are now. Hmm? We spoke about that.
Agreed.
So now when I look at them, okay, I disagree with their point of view. Some political view, some medical view nowadays could be a big topic to discuss or not. And allow others to have their opinion, because based on their point of view, from their perspective, they came to the conclusion that's the right choice for them. And I can accept their choice for them. I don't need to agree with them. So by accepting it, I can still disagree, but I do not need to put the oil pouring out of my mouth in ways of words or argumentative comments. I can just not increase the magnitude of the fire. Now, the second thing is what I can do when there's something really bothering me. Let's say Johnny is there and Johnny says, oh, Daisy, but you know, your hair is just too long. It's just too long. Why don't you get a haircut? It's really too long. And let's say every single time I meet Johnny, he says that. I can say, thank you, Johnny, for observing the length of my hair. Do you trust me that I will go to the hairdresser when it's time for me? Do you trust me that I can choose that for myself? You see, I'm gently pointing out to the other that, hey, actually, I'm an adult and I will go and take care of my hair when I feel or I have the budget to do so, whatever the reasons are, you see. So I gently help Johnny to understand that this is my responsibility and I'm well aware of my responsibility. Therefore, I help him to be free to not feel responsible for my hair length.
Interesting. I think that a lot of this comes back to what we spoke about in our shoebox episode, where we take ownership of our own issues, but also realize and understand that other people's issues are their issues and not ours.
Mm.
So I think that this follows on really well from that, in that I think the urge, when you're close to somebody who's toxic, the urge is to want to fix them, to want to change them because of how it affects you, when in fact we need to flip that on its head and go, I'm letting it affect me, now choose differently.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Exactly. Because their toxicity is only mine when I take it on.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying stay there when there's emotional or verbal or physical violence. Get out. No question. Mm? But when we see in environments that, yes, some people have always something bad to say. Mm? There are people who always have something kind to say. And then there are those who always find that one little bad thing that they can point out, put it under the magnifying glass and just make it so big, like the Empire State Building. And then we can observe their habit for doing so without judging it, because it really only upsets us when we give meaning to their behavior. Correct?
Yes.
So when I'm capable of remaining in the neutral space within me, then I'm just the observer, like you and I, sitting in the movie theater watching a movie.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think that the trick here is often that toxic behavior will trigger us. And the trick, I think, is to be aware of that happening so we don't then react in a way that's going to make the situation escalate.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is our homework then. When I'm aware, let me go back to Johnny and the hairdresser. When I'm aware that it triggers me when Johnny points out my hair, for whatever reason, maybe he's envious because he's trying to grow his hair, or he has no hair, or he has green hair, or he has thin hair, or whatever it is. And when I realize it triggers me, then that's my job to take care of that trigger so it will not trigger me to a degree that I jump in and then defend myself, justify the whole nine yards I can pull off. But it's my responsibility. I'm responsible. Responsibility, my ability to respond is my responsibility, not theirs. Them triggering me is theirs. Now, when I feel triggered, I can then also vocalize that. I can say, Johnny, this triggers me right now, and I'm going to take care of that. And I will have a closer look what that really is all about. And I wonder if you are okay that we change topics. Speak about the elephant in the room. Otherwise, it will pee and poop. It will be stinky. Now, when I know that I'm going into an environment, let's say a family gathering or a vacation or a holiday meeting or dinner, then I can prepare myself already and say, okay, so what is it usually that triggers me? Have a look and then make a preparation that you can either start dealing with it before you go into that meeting, so that you will not autopilot response, activate yourself. Or you can also then go in there and say, okay, I'm aware of these triggers and I'm not going to jump in, but I'm going to keep my cool. So remember, the self-fulfilling prophecy truly exists. And I had a client last week and she said to me, yeah, no, you're not going to get upset. You're not going to get upset. And then I said, well, remember that the word no is not perceived in our brains as a total no. Like when I tell you, and we spoke about that again in other episodes, that do not think under any circumstances of the yellow cat with a green umbrella. What's on your mind? That's exactly the picture that you think of. So when you want to keep calm, then say, I want to keep calm. I'm staying calm. It's okay. It's okay. I'm okay. I'm staying calm. That's a direct message that our subconscious also can understand. Instead of, no, I'm not going to get upset, because there's upset already predestined in there.
So self-talk in the positive light, because our brains will go to what we think. And if there's a negative in there, doesn't matter. It will naturally go to the negative.
That is something. So how I go in there, my attitude already determines the outcome to a degree, much bigger degree than we most of the time believe. When I'm already upset and I'm going into the little store here because I'm looking for a specific screw and I'm already aware, I'm sure they will not have it. My attitude will be very different to the attitude when I go in there. Oh, they're so kind. I'm sure they're going to give me the best help possible. So when I'm aware of how powerful I am, I can then focus on my attitude and also how I think of my family before I'm meeting them. When I wind myself up, and I say, well, Lisa is stupid and Susan is just a bitch and Mary, she's always telling the same story and Uncle John is like this and Pete is that, then I'm already so upset before I even see them that I'm already bringing all these thoughts and all these linked emotions, my energy in motion, into that meeting. Why would I do that? Imagine everyone who meets you does that. Although they know you're a kind, loving person, let's say before they meet you, they think, well, Kathy is so mean. And then you tell them, hey, you're just 2 minutes late. I knew you would be mean. So it is like when we understand how us taking our power back into our own system, what I mean by system, our own thoughts, our own evaluation system, how we evaluate, how we jump to conclusions instead of asking questions, how we have prejudice before even going there. And let's say I meet with my family once a year because we live far away and that's the habit that once a year we must come together and it's all about love because the celebration of love. And then everybody is so tense that the love is gone before they even meet. So cool down and slow down and really just be. It's called human being, not human doing. Be there, observe. Allow others having their own opinions. Allow others to make the cake in a different way. Allow others to eat in a different manner. Allow others to have different opinions when it comes to politics or medical issues or whatever geopolitical thoughts and opinions. Allow them to have theirs. And when you go into any meeting with that peaceful mindset, I allow you to have yours. and I'm asking you kindly to allow me to have mine. You see, now my attitude is very different than when I go in there and say, oh my goodness, another holiday. Ah, it will be so stressful. And I know Uncle Joey will be so drunk that we have to call the ambulance. So every family has their little black sheep or the big black sheep and then the cute victim sheep and then the cute martyr sheep. You see, they're so different characters. Let's just change that at least within our minds, because that already will shift the meeting itself.
And I think releasing the need to be right is also something that's going to help.
Yeah, actually, let's go back to kindergarten, because that is actually when I believe that many of us missed learning that we are still surviving and it's okay to not be right at all times, because it's very unattractive when you meet someone who always needs to be right. Because then there is no flow in a dialogue. It cannot be healthy. It cannot be gentle. It cannot be an exchange of information or thoughts, opinions, facts, news, whatever it is. Yes, I think that's a very good idea. And yes, if you miss learning, letting go of the need to be right at one point in your life, just maybe take an internal journey and make an inventory and look where you may have lost it and realize it's not about life or death when someone has the need to be right and they try to prove you to be wrong. I can still remember that I am who I am based on how I behave and not based on any family member's opinion of me.
Yes, and that it's fine to have your own belief systems, and nobody has the right to impose on that. Just because they believe something else doesn't make them right or wrong either. I think that the ability to be able to interact with each other with some understanding and empathy without judgment is key here, because it allows for that communication to flow both ways without any sort of negativity enforcing itself into the dialogue. And what I mean by that is the more we can evolve to respect each other's opinions, whether we agree with them or not, the more that we promote this free discourse of ideas and freedom as a human being, the right to free speech, the right to believe what we believe, and the right to not have that imposed upon you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that globally, the media is very guilty of promoting the judgment and promoting somebody who believes green is stupid and somebody who believes yellow is even worse and lacks intelligence and lacks education. They, whomever is behind the media, are trying to do, I can still quit on that and say, you can try whatever you try to do. I'm not going to participate. And I go back to the formula for finding true love. It is truly not meant to be a romantic piece of literature. It truly helps us understand who we are, how we function, and therefore we can grow tolerance and acceptance towards others. Because when I just take care of myself and deciding for myself that I'm not going to be distanced from you because you have different beliefs and different opinions and different likes or dislikes. When I just say, no, I'm not playing along with this. I like you the way you are with your opinion, although I'm not agreeing with your opinion. And let's share a piece of cake, or let's just share laughter or a joke or a handshake or a hug. And it's okay. And if you don't want to hug me, I'm going to respect you don't want to hug me. And I'm sending you then a virtual hug, because you cannot prevent me from sending you a virtual hug.
Yeah. And you know what? I think the other key here is what we spoke about in a prior episode around not taking it personally. Because I think that with toxic people, they can be a little bit manipulative in that they tend to twist things to bring out some sort of emotional effect in the other person. Well, that's been my experience with toxic people, is they're quite manipulative and trying to get you to feel a certain way that suits their agenda.
But nevertheless, it is a great test then for us. We are just like in an exam. Okay, do I still respond the same way I did when I was 5 years old, 10 years old, 20 years old or so? And did I change my response ability? And then I'm not going to respond. And when I know that somebody is trying to twist words, then I can also ask, well, is that what you heard me say, Joey? Because what I remember saying is A, B, C, G, and not Y, Q, K. So I just wanted to clarify with you, Joey, that what I'm saying is, and then I say what I meant again, and I wonder, what is it that you heard me say now? You see? So holding them peacefully accountable. So it shows them that we are aware. And there are some people who don't care and they're as toxic because, let me go back to the toothpaste. When you squeeze your toothpaste, usually comes out toothpaste. Now, when some toxic people are around you and you squeeze them a little bit, toxins come out. Why? Because that's what's in there. Now, imagine how they feel about themselves or what their thinking process over the days is, 365 days a year, a lifetime long. Now, imagine if I would think as they think, if I'd connect dots together just like they do, if I'd give meaning to what I perceive just as they do, I'd probably be just as toxic as they are, because it's not that they are born toxic. Things happened in their lives. They gave specific meaning to what happened and they responded in a specific way, in a certain way to what happened to them. And if I would have done exactly the same, I probably today would just respond the same way as they do. Actually, I can show compassion for them that they did not find out a way out of that spiral loop yet.
That's a good way to look at it, I think, because it lends compassion to the person's behavior in a way where we are less likely to harshly judge it and more likely to step back and go, well, this is the point in their journey that they're on. This is where they are. And people are doing the best they can with what they have. I really do believe that. And even though somebody may need learning, may need awareness, may still be toxic, doesn't mean that they're stuck there forever.
That's one thing, and it's not your responsibility. And it's not your responsibility to prove them how toxic they are. You can set a boundary. They can be as toxic as they want to be, but not with you. For example, you can be as angry as you are, but not with me. You can be angry at me, but here's the golden line or the silver line. Here's the thin line. And I appreciate you sharing with me your toxins or toxicity or your toxic thoughts. And I'm already judging when I judge it as toxic. Do you see? So then again, I'm on their level when they are very judgmental and I judge them as toxic. Why can I not just have a look at them? Oh, that's where they are in their own growth, self-development and evolution. That is non-judgmental. That is neutral. I believe it is a very good idea to look at ourselves and start with the judgments and stop judging and observe as neutrally as you can. They are just how they are based on how they behave. Now, when I give already meaning to it, oh, that's toxic. My attitude, my energy already changes.
That's true, yes.
And I suggest not even going there. Just keep it neutral. Okay, I'm observing. Oh, okay. Johnny said green is ugly. Johnny said yellow is good. Johnny said green belongs to stupid people. Johnny believes yellow is the best of the best in this world. You see, when we just say, okay, so he seems opinionated and he has the right to his opinion.
Yeah, I think that's an important observation, because when we do label something in our minds, we are giving it this meaning. And if we can not whack that label on, but just allow the observation, then I think that we might be more inclined to be more neutral in our attitude. Because as soon as you label something in your head, you've given it a certain meaning to yourself. Now, for example, if I look at my life where I've been entwined with toxic people and say I recognize the same behavior in another person, and in my head I've equated it with that other behavior, immediately I have crippled myself in my ability to be neutral because I've associated it with something else that's negative. As soon as I label it, I'm impeding my own ability to be neutral.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the moment we label it, who is toxic already? Isn't it me?
That's interesting.
So again, I believe the best is to look at yourself and look within yourself and find it there and allow others to be who they are. And if it's really that bad, then remove yourself. You're luckily not a tree. You have two legs. Go. Sometimes it is inevitable to make a clear cut. There are some situations where it is so poisoned or so toxic where it clearly requires professional help to have a peaceful come together. And only because there's some calendar holidays that we are supposed to do based on some calendar that was invented by some and almost put upon us. And now everybody needs to live by that in specific cultures. And only because it is a bloodline that connects us does not mean that we have to endure everything under all circumstances. So get help when necessary. And there are many organizations out there that do help for free because that's their job, that's their passion, that's what they want to do. They want to help, they want to offer help. And so do we, Kathy and I. But start with yourself and judge less. And when you realize something is toxic to you, then make changes. Because me labeling Johnny as toxic, or Michael as toxic, or Susan as toxic, or Francie as toxic, it makes me the judge. And I am toxic already because there must have been a reason why I already judged them. But when I'm the observer, I'm more peaceful within me. And I can then just allow them to be. And okay, once a year, I'm signing up for a movie theater that I'm not really interested in, but I do it for the sake of the family or because, okay, let's have my own test, how good I became over the past year, how much I bettered myself to not reacting, jumping into conclusions or arguments, but keep it to myself. It's a great test. It's a great opportunity to have a look how far you've come.
Yes, I think so. And as we mentioned earlier, it's also a really great place to notice where you're being triggered.
And then take that homework with you and get onto it. The moment we acknowledged I have still a sore point, that is when we can do something about it.
Yes.
As long as the automatic programs run the show, I don't really stand a chance because I'm not even aware.
Yeah, absolutely. So listeners, this is your toolkit. Be aware, observe, don't judge, and set your boundaries so that you're safe. And remember that it is their shoebox and your shoebox is your shoebox. And if you don't understand that, go and listen to the shoebox episode. It'll make everything very clear. But basically what it means is that you're not responsible for their actions or their attitudes or their beliefs. You're only responsible for your own. And therefore, don't let what other people do affect you. And you can do that by having this awareness and having that observation and then taking your time in responding instead of just reacting like our old conditioning can cause us to do when we're triggered. So it's a tough one. Actual life circumstances where you meet these toxic people, it can be tough in the moment because there's so many emotions rolling around. But that's when we say just try and take that step back so that you're not as emotionally involved and you won't react the same way as you used to do. It's all about taking our power back by choosing how we want to react and respond, by choosing what boundaries we want to allow, by choosing to not take it personally, by choosing that our shoebox is our responsibility and theirs is their responsibility.
And I believe, as a very good closing thought, it is fact that everyone wants to be loved and accepted and respected for who they are now. And it is the most toxic human being as well that they want to be loved for who they are now.
Yes.
Well, when we are aware that other people's opinions of us does not change us, does not make us into their opinions, then I can be so peaceful and allow others to have opinions of me as long as they want and as colorful as they want, because it's theirs and it will not turn me into their visions that they have or their fantasies they believe to be true about me. When I'm aware of that and then I'm just observing, oh, okay, and just let it be as it is. Be the observer and know it is not changing you. If I'd call you stupid dog now, Kathy, would you turn into a dog and stupid? No.
No.
So why would we in other settings or family situations then take things on or take it personally?
Mm. Well, yes, absolutely. And that awareness of that conditioning, that awareness of the old habits, the old reactions, they're all going to help you a lot by being aware that used to happen. And I've got to say, from personal experience, this observation thing, it really works, guys. Like when you take a step back and become the observer, everything just becomes so much calmer. Mm-hmm. Within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really great feeling. So I urge you all to give it a go and to become the observer, mm-hmm. especially in any large gatherings that are happening at this time of year. It's actually quite amusing. You'll have a great entertainment. So grab a glass of beverage, grab some popcorn and have some fun observing what is going on around you.
Mm. And it's also a good idea to remember that sometimes in our life, we were the toxic human for someone else. And only because we've come so far, we can also be patient with others. Because during your time, during my time, during our evolution, we probably have met very impatient humans and we've met very patient ones who helped us take the next hurdle and to take the next step into the right direction in self-development.
Well, we hope this conversation has helped you look at toxic people a little bit differently and given you some tools to use in your own life. So that's it from us this week. Join us again next week for another awesome conversation. We thank you for your time. We thank you for your support. We thank you for sharing this with your family and friends. We know that these topics will help everybody if they put a little time and attention to them. So we thank you for your efforts in sharing with the world what we are trying to achieve.
And grab yourself a copy of the 5+2, the formula for finding true love. It will help you tremendously. It will shift your thinking. It will help you to be so calm within yourself while you become the better observer and become the human that you were meant to be, the loving, caring, absolutely amazing human being you were meant to be, instead of the hurt, reactive, judgmental, toxic human you became. So grab yourself a copy. It's very interesting. We get so much feedback from around the globe. And I believe the best case scenario is when in every family home, there is a copy of that, because it changes perspectives, it changes outlooks, it changes outcomes, and it brings so much peace.
Absolutely, 100% there with you, Daisy. And you can grab the formula for finding true love on our website, baldandblonde.live. Just go up to the shop and you'll be able to instantaneously download your own copy after you've purchased it in our store. So thank you so much. Thank you, Daisy, for another great conversation. We'll see you all next week. We are Bold and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Thank you for tuning in to the Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. If you love what you're hearing, please subscribe to our podcast. In our show notes, you find the link to our Facebook group where you can personally connect with Daisy and Kathy, and the link to our website where you can find all of our previous episodes and much more of goodies so you can get more value. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. That really helps out the show and helps us to get some powerful feedback from you. Talk to you soon.